Tom, I'll just sit out because. You could be actually.
So none of you have guided before.
So I'm actually with Sight Village at the moment, obviously, and
so we approach.
I'm sitting in on the training for guides.
Back of the hand on the arm. I mean, some cultures don't like touching or anything like that, but no standard is back of the hand on the shoulder. So, would you like to be guided? You don't need to manhandle my pocket chair. Yeah, so just.
So now these are volunteers from Barclays Bank, and Sue is being guided at the moment.
You might prefer a side to be guided on if you've got a bit of useful vision on one side. So they might say, oh, can he come around on the right-hand side or left-hand side, which is fine. Just ask them which they prefer.
Yeah.
So have a walk around. Always be one step ahead. Your guiding arm is their information tool. So don't be talking and waving your arm around or anything like that, because they might think you're going in a certain direction.
Yeah. So Simon's just taking Sue, who's volunteering, obviously, round quite a wide area here. We'll ask him about this in a minute.
Coming up to a chair, if you need to sit down, if you're down the canteen or anything, with your guiding arm, put it down on the chair, and they'll trail down your arm with their free hand. Again, they can explore the chair, sit down on their own. Excellent. There'll be lots of crowds here today, so I'll just show you. I'll show you the narrow space.
He's going to do this because he forgot. Yeah. Day and I found everyone.
Okay. So when you sound kind of hot, I'll just set something up.
So now he's setting up an obstacle course almost to simulate. Guiding in a crowd situation. So these are people that have never, in many cases, never worked here as guides before.
But
very, very pleased to have them involved as one of many parts of what our relationship with. So Simon's just guiding now through the crowd. Simulation.
So you just want to try them two techniques for now. Just have a little try. You want to go in pairs.
Okay, I'll be back in a second.
Find a seat and go.
So they've done the sort of crowd guides, and now they're doing guiding on stairs. So I will stand at the side of the stairs and listen.
If it's stairs up or stairs down.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. First step, so step up or step down.
Here's the stairs.
That's important because they don't want to do any embarrassing air steps or anything like that at the bottom. And always make sure you're one step ahead all the time going up and coming down. If they're a little bit frail or unbalanced, you can always put your arm at the front on and put it down on the rail. I'll show you that now anyway. Okay, so just approaching some stairs, going up. So again, with your guiding arm onto the rail, they can trail down, find the rail. Okay, step up. One step ahead.
I should have also said that they're wearing blindfolds at the moment, not to simulate certain types of sight loss, but just not to be able to see full stop, so that they actually get a context, which is quite, I would think, quite a shock initially for someone that has never had to do that before. So, you know, you can understand why you would do it. But we'll speak to Simon in a bit and ask him some questions about all this. So Sue's just come back down there. I think it's worth it because then you get a perspective, don't you?
Yeah, definitely. Which one are we going on?
Yeah, going to
the
right.
Okay, so now Sue's going to guide, just having been taught herself. No, sorry, Sue is being guided by someone else having just had the experience herself of going up and down the stairs as guide.
Guiding arm on stairs, you trail down with your free arm. With your free arm, that's it.
Okay, so you just heard us listening while Simon was guiding doing guide training for our volunteers that until this morning were not guides at all and probably never had any experience of visual impairment. And this is the man himself. This is the guy, Simon, who was doing the training. So I'm with Simon. Hi, Si.
How are you doing, Paul? You're
right, man. Yeah,
yeah. Not too bad, thank you.
So so apart from Si's dodgy accent, mind you, then again, the Brummy can't hardly talk about that. But so Si, what is involved, I mean, for the guides? You know, what take us kind of through that. I mean, obviously, we saw you training, but what happens? What's the process?
Yeah, I mean...
What do you do? You know, what's...
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, we get lots of volunteers coming through from different organisations, maybe. And some even take time off work specifically to do this in their own time,
yeah.
Which is really good, which, you know, it helps us fantastically.
There's been examples of that this week, hasn't there?
Oh,
this...
yeah, for sure. I mean, they come in and I train them up to in the sighted guide techniques, going upstairs, you know, guiding the correct way and all that sort of stuff. And then they go off to their own devices, guiding. Or some, I mean, some could be with clients all day,
yeah,
from 10 o'clock until 4 o'clock. Even after that, taken to the tube station, you know, it can be quite demanding. I mean, and tiring to be
yes,
honest.
Yeah.
They do a fantastic job, and we get really positive feedback from all the clients, really, that say, I mean, some of them even try and give them presents at the end of
it. Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, we have cases where they try to give £20, £30 in cash and stuff like that. We say, maybe it's up to you, but none of them ever accept it.
No.
It's like, no, we do this, you know, it's for you, you know.
It's almost awkward, isn't it? Yeah, I never knew that. So, yeah, that's awesome. So obviously, I know it's first come, first serve. I mean, people know that when they try to ask for guides, you can't book them. But obviously, conversely, you know, you don't limit the time a person spends with a guide once they get a guide.
Sure. I mean, they get talking to the guides and, you know, some of them maybe even take their numbers and become friends after
that. Oh, has that happened as well?
You know, yeah, I mean, we can't really... With the numbers we get inside Village, it's impossible to get a guide for every yeah, visually impaired person. Yeah. It's just impossible.
Yeah.
But the one, you know, we try and do the best job we can with the numbers we have. And sometimes some of the guides are multitasking, getting guiding two people at the same time. And
running from one to another, because if the person's speaking on the stand with someone for a long time, it's quite often that the guide could just be standing there when they don't really need to be, and they could probably get. And then I've seen that where they kind of excuse themselves for a bit and then go and help someone else.
If it gets totally overcrowded, we say, leave the person at the stand for a minute and go and help somebody else. Then running back and forth like mad people sometimes, but that's where it's got to be to try and accommodate everybody, you see.
So there's that, and the fact that often, I suppose it's often the case that if someone's wants to get from one stand and it's quite near to a stand where they've just been, the person on the stand probably
exhibitors really help us out as well, to be honest.
Have you encouraged that? Have you kind of tried to foster that a little bit, or is that just something that happens because people are more aware of people with visual impairment because of their jobs and things?
Yeah, I mean, a bit of both, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the exhibitors know how hard a job it is with the numbers we get in. Sometimes they'll... If I go to a stand and wait for someone, they'll say, don't worry, we can move them on. If they want to go to a specific stand, they'll take them. We've had a lot of that today as well, where we've brought a lot of numbers to the door. We haven't had that many guys to do it. But, the exhibitors help us out a lot, to be honest. It's good. We all muck in together.
Yeah. So what do you do to try and make that run smoothly, to try and keep it coordinated? Because obviously your job doesn't end in the morning when you've taught people how to guide.
My role is, when the people come through the door, I allocate them to a guide, and if there's no guides available, I'll take them to a stand and then see where all the guides are at, and if there's somebody available to take them to the next stand, sort of a domino sort of I sort of oversee all the guides where people need to be and stuff.
And you're uniquely placed in one sense because you yourself are visually impaired, aren't you? So
I'm actually registered by myself. So I know how tricky it can be getting through a venue like this, and with all the crowds and everything, it can be quite stressful.
And I was going to ask you for a story, but you've already kind of, you know, what are the things that have happened? You've already told me a couple, but what do you think the guides get out of it? I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, obviously they get, you know, occasionally get offered stuff that they don't want to, you know, they don't take, and that, I mean, that's just wonderful. That's a testimony to the quality of them. But what, what do you think?
Of, you know, it's a feeling of, it's so rewarding for them. I mean, I've had guys today saying I've had, you know, I've learned so much about visual impairments, and I'd love to come again next year, just guiding them around and help, just, you know, in general, just helping people. It's always nice to help people. That's, you know, that's the general opinion.
Yeah. And I think on a more sort of a slightly less lateral level, is to think about it, or more lateral level, sorry, is that people, like, if it's because of our connections and because of who we work with as an organisation, you often get corporates that are actually the ones doing the guiding.
Yes.
And then they take that new awareness into their provision to visually impaired, to their visually impaired customers. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go into too much as to who those people are, but, you know, we can say, you know, that we've had volunteers from Barclays. So if they're guiding people and spending time with and seeing the software and hardware and, you know, getting into the VI world, that must inform their thinking.
Well, yeah,
regarding
they have first-hand experience of how it's like for visual impaired people.
Mm.
Yeah, they can go back to their bosses or their line managers and say, hey, we could do this that'd help out visually impaired people, or this, which can only be a good thing in terms of raising awareness and helping companies provide decent provision for visually impaired people.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's a final thing. What's your favourite thing? What do you enjoy most about Sight Village? I think I know what you're going to say, but I'm interested.
What do I enjoy most about Sight Village? It's the feedback, to be honest. Everybody, I mean, sometimes it's like a community. They come a lot of the clients come here every year and they come here to meet each other as well. They're always meeting in the catering area.
Yes,
they haven't seen each other since the last one.
Yeah.
And it's been a really positive vibe this year as well, I've noticed.
Really,
both days, you know.
Yeah.
And all the exhibitors have loved it as well. Real positive energy, buzz going around the place. And that's, I always like that. But, you know, just making sure everybody's fine and accommodated. That's what I get out of it.
Si, thanks ever so much. That's been a really nice interview, and thank you for doing what you do. And we'll extend a thanks to the guides for what they do, and as you say, you know, just all that goes on, really, just to give people an idea of what it's all about. But yeah, thanks for that. That's lovely.
Thanks, Paul.
Speak soon.
Cheers.
Bye.